Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. If I sound really angry today, that's because I really am. Skype has been messing me around. Something chronic. Yesterday, dig this, ladies and gentlemen, Skype charged me four times $16 Australian in a day for no reason. And my Skype premium has died, so I cannot any longer do video, and I just tried to buy it again, and it says that I'm restricted from purchasing Skype Premium. Apparently, Skype is happy enough to steal my money, but it's not happy enough for me to actually buy any of their services. What the frack is going on here? Crazy. Hate technical issues. I don't want to blame anybody or get angry with them, but I don't know whose fracking fault it is. I don't care. Point is, we have a guest today, as always, and we're going to attempt to make do with what we got. So, his name is Andrew Jackson. I believe the website is andrewjacksonrock.com. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny, how you doing?
Now, is Andrew Jackson actually your real name, or have you dubbed yourself after one of the founding fathers?
I have dubbed myself after one of the, well, he wasn't one of the founding fathers. He came a little later.
Right. Why? Yeah. What's so special about Andrew Jackson for you?
Well, at the time I was recording this music and putting it all together, I figured that, you know, there was sort of an overreaching message, sort of a subtle message to it. It's not really, you know, blatantly blah, blah, blah in your face the whole time, but there's an underlying tone to it, I suppose. And, the president, Andrew Jackson, was known for basically getting rid of, you know, half of the government, just firing them because they were corrupt. And he said, you know what, get the heck out of here. He would refer to them as, you know, vipers and snakes and things like that. And the biggest thing he did for me, I mean, and I know there is controversy too, because there was wars with native tribes and such, and war atrocities were being committed and things like that. But the second U.S. National Bank was ended, the charter was ended by Andrew Jackson. And then, of course, the third one came along, and we know that today as the Federal Reserve.
So he's basically the anti-banker president du jour.
Yeah, he got rid of Federal Reserve 2.0. Federal Reserve is actually 3.0. Back in 1913, it was 3.0. That was a bit over 70 years after Andrew Jackson got rid of the 2.0 and the network that they had set up. It took them a long time to get back in. But as you can see, they have quite a foothold today.
Well, they don't mess around, and I don't know. They must be real positive thinkers, you know. If at first you don't enslave, try again.
Right, yeah, yeah. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right, well, without further ado, that's not a reference to the Bankers, by the way. We're going to play one of your songs, bro. Which one do you reckon we should do? I like this this one, the Another Day of Misery. Should we play that?
We could, and you know, I feel awful about the Skype, Vinny, because I do have a video for Another Day of Misery, which is people can check out, I guess, after the broadcast today. We'll give, I guess, the YouTube channel out later. But yeah, go play this, roll it.
Another day of misery. Did you read between the lines? My hands are tingling, love is spinning. I'm angry when I'm painting sometimes. I'm focused on standing, the tests are demanding. As the color melts away, I think of you from a time before I knew. It's all said and done.
I think it might have been my mate Dan. He just lives up the road. He started listening to me a while back, and we just kind of hang out. And he's introduced me to a number of musicians, and I think you're the only one that he's actually introduced me to that I liked enough to go, holy cow, how is this guy not? I think as we said before that you came on the show today, how is this guy not super famous, playing to crowds of 10,000 people? Oh, that's right, he's singing about the truth. Mm.
Yes, it's a taboo subject these days.
Yeah, especially when you're singing about mass eugenics and scumbaggery and what have you. You know, Hollywood producers will just sit there and go, maybe you should just tone that down a bit, sweetheart. And maybe they just won't even approach you in the first place because they know that you won't bend.
Well, it's also, I think, it's a marketing approach too. I think I didn't have that hadn't been sorted out when I did put the album out. So I was sort of doing this on my own. You know, I'm like a maverick, I guess.
So you're kind of like promoting mass eugenics for the masses?
No, not at all.
I'm
not promoting it.
or rather, trying to promote the idea of it as in get it out there so people would become aware of it, so to speak.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, all around there is that type of thing going on, you know?
Yeah.
No one's going to deny that unless they're in denial. And denial is also a very powerful mental state that keeps people, you know, going through their routines daily.
Yeah. I have this problem with routine personally. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really can't go by any routine. If I have to do something, I have to do something. Fine, I'll do it. But other than that, just kind of living my life, winging a prayer, strumming along, whatever the heck comes my way, sort of thing. Live in the moment.
Well, life isn't meant to be in a routine form. Life evolves. It grows. It spreads out. It takes in, you know, new things, and so this routine that people get into is unnatural. It's actually created, and they're put into this routine, and then you know they don't even realize it. Actually, it's unfortunate.
It is. I think we all kind of suffer from that, and economically speaking, like if we were to really think about it.
Oh, economics. You want to talk about it? I'm not surprised they took your video privileges away from you, Vinny.
Well, they
here you are. You already said the big E word, and now you want to talk about economics? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, my opinion in economics is relatively simple. Are you creating a good product? Yes. Are you capable of bringing it to market? Yes. Well, I think, therefore, you should be able to at least derive some form of income from it. Difficulty being that the current market is what we call globalized, and essentially, unless you've got kind of masses appeal, not mass appeal, but masses appeal, it makes it just that much harder, and you have to work maybe 10 times harder than you'd ever really have to in order to make it.
It is, and your original statement is a great on paper. It's a great concept. You know, there's a lot of things that are good on paper, but in the real world, they work a little different. And unfortunately, in the situation we have currently, you know, when they come out on the news and say the economy's fixed, you know, what they're talking about is like a rigged game fixed, you know, like fixing a Don King fight. You know, it's not that it's repaired. There's a different term for fixed. So when they say it's okay, the economy's fixed, what they're saying is that they have fixed the economy so that they can profit and everyone else will pay into it. And
fixed meaning rigged.
Yeah. Yeah. English is great that way because there's a double entendre, as the French would say. There's multiple meanings for words, and we've got, you know, there's so many things that are said that can be taken in more than one way, and a lot of people will take them predictively to mean one thing when actually the opposite is meant and understood by a few.
Mm. Notably, they'll interpret a positive meaning from it, whereas people like us, we've discovered that the world is not a very positive place in a lot of ways, and particularly at higher levels. So we interpret many of the things that our leaders and politicians say negatively, and unfortunately, we wind up being correct most of the time, which really pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Now, higher levels, you're obviously not referring to, you know, spiritual levels. You're referring to physical ladder rungs, I guess you could say that.
You know, those people who are obsessed with titles? I have seven names on the plaque on my desk or something like that on the Business Communications Association Public Relations Manager Director Officer.
Vinny, some people think they're so superior to everybody else that they put their face all over your money. My money.
I saw America's Funniest Home Videos the other day, bro, and a woman was giving a $1 bill to her child, and the child says, "Oh, it's grandma's money." And she goes, "Well, how do you know it's grandma's? It's like a $1 bill of George Washington." And he says, "Well, it's because it's grandma's picture on it." Yeah, grandma wasn't happy.
No. Did she have wooden teeth? Or?
I don't know, but she probably smoked weed.
Well, I hope so. George did, of course.
And he grew heaps of it, too.
He grew hemp so that he could build products with it. And, they did it. People should go, and after this interview is over, of course, should go look up Hemp for Victory. It's a World War II movie by the Coronet Films, I think they're called. They made all the little... let's get up and go type of movies. And so they have Hemp for Victory, and they tell you all you need to know right there.
They do. what I found interesting was George H.W. Bush, apparently he flew in the Pacific Theater during the war and was shot down. And his parachute that saved his ass was made of hemp. And then he came home and became a prohibitionist.
Mm, yeah. Wait, you can make anything out of hemp. Rope. Parachutes, plastic, treat cancer with it. But yeah, there's, and they call it a weed because, hey, it grows anywhere. It's easy. Doesn't need much care. Things are weed. It grows, it's like dandelions. Can't get rid of the stuff. But hey, there's a lot of people that need to cut down trees instead to make paper. So you can make hemp with paper hemp. Hemp paper, yeah.
Well, that's the real problem, isn't it? People decide that as soon as they've got a business model that's working, anybody else who tries to come up with something different that's better needs to be suppressed as quickly as humanly possible, essentially, yeah. So that there is no real competition in the market. We have a monopolistic economy, and that's my real problem. And I want talented individuals like yourself to at least be able to, make some freaking money by doing the right thing. Unfortunately,
oh, me too.
It's not the way it's structured. All right, we'll be right back. AndrewJacksonRock.com.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I'm no Superman, and if I was, I would shoot laser beams out of my eyes and burn up David Rockefeller like a turkey twizzler on a barbecue. I'm a very special guest. Is Andrew Jackson from AndrewJacksonRock.com, struggling artist who happens to be very talented. And what occurs to me is that basically any form of media that you want to get into, doesn't matter whether it's music, radio, or video or anything like that, you really do need a team behind you, partly for the production of such, and secondly for the promotion. And Andrew currently is looking for a manager. So if anybody out there has managerial skills, knows how to organize a tour or two, or has connections of that regard, get in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with him if that's at all possible. So, yeah, please I think everybody needs to kind of take the bull by the horns here and just kind of help the people who need your help. That's how I started doing what I'm doing. I just went out and started videoing all these public meetings, which barely anybody attended, and we're talking about really information that that concerned the whole country, and just put it up on YouTube for everybody to see. Namely because if I didn't do it, nobody else would. Take some responsibility. Help the people who need your help. Do something for them that they cannot do for themselves. That's all I'm saying. Andrew, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny, and thank you for doing those types of things. You know, people need to do that. But you got to get out there and do a march occasionally, and you certainly have to email your representatives on occasion because they're changing the laws, and if you're not paying attention, then maybe the laws will be changed in a fashion that won't suit your lifestyle so much any longer.
Yeah. We were talking about investors the other day and, you know, why should somebody invest in people like us? And I said, well, basically, your business ain't going to be around for much longer, mate, if you don't invest in dialogue and things like this, because they'll change the laws, monopolize all of the business, and you won't even have the ability to be an entrepreneur anymore. It'll be illegal. There'll be so much red tape and compliance costs and things like that. That simply won't be possible.
Yeah, it'll work for the ruling party.
Yeah.
It'll be like China. It'll basically be like China, but more controlled, like, you know.
Yeah. Hey, incidentally,
sci-fi version.
Friend of mine went to China, bro, and they got pulled over. I think they were going like 100 kilometers an hour in a 50K zone. And the cop pulls him over, and the people driving the car are like one of the real wealthiest kind of families, and he's sitting in the passenger seat, and the cop suddenly realizes who he just pulled over and literally drops to his knees and starts begging for them to not tell his superiors, otherwise he'll lose his job and he won't be able to feed his family.
Well, there's an example of a double standard. Different set of rules if you got some cash. And, you know, hey, if you got a machine that makes the money, well, then you're set. Then you're set because then you make whatever rules you want.
Yeah. I got this problem with that kind of mentality. It's like nobody's above reproach, nor should anybody be.
Oh, no. We're all connected somehow.
So personally, for you, who woke you up, or what woke you up? Because in this field of media or research or whatever, usually I've found it's two factors that'll wake people up. One, you're an incredibly talented person who's been completely shafted by the system, and you suddenly realize that nothing is what it appeared, and that's what kind of starts you on your journey. Or secondly, you have parents who know this from the start, and you're just kind of brought up knowing this, and it becomes inevitable.
No, it's closer to the one scenario. And it's also, I think, you know, a situation. You're right. You have to be in a certain situation, I think. You have to sort of want to wake up, I suppose, on a certain level. If you have a comfortable life and you're happy and, you know, you're fulfilling all your childhood dreams and all this, then you're a lot less likely to wake up, you know, if your childhood dreams are part of this, you know, scenario that's been constructed. So, I guess, you know, all my life, I kind of knew that something was just a little off, you know, and I was just, certain things made me uncomfortable, and I couldn't really figure out why, but, you know, I sort of went along with it and tried out different things, and, just, you know, eventually it just, you know, I started seeing through the cracks, and I started looking for information. But, you know, I was still, I guess at that point, I was kind of shutting it out because I was still watching a lot of television and being traumatized by that kind of multimedia barrage. And a friend of mine who, I don't know if he's listening tonight because he might have got the wrong time, but he'll hear it in the podcast, by the name of Popek. He's a talented musician as well, out on the west coast of Canada. And we were playing in a band together, and, you know, he was just sort of saying things here and there. And I think he got me to listen to Alex Jones or something. And I started listening to that, and I was like, that can't be true. And then I would go and look things up, and everything was true. And then, you know, then you just start looking stuff up on your own if you have the time, and down the rabbit hole you go. And eventually, you know, more than you really want to know, but, you know, it's better to know than be ignorant. And really, you know, we need to, it's about acceptance too. People need to accept the situation in order for it to be corrected. You can't just pretend it's not there, you know. It has to be addressed. And as a collective, you know, consciousness or species or, you know, whatever you want to refer to us as, I think that the majority component would agree that, you know, we'd be better off in a more positive situation than this one that is getting more and more negative. And, you know, that's a very easy to accomplish if people just, you know, get together and say, you know, yeah, let's do this instead of, you know, pretending that everything's all right. Because guess what, folks? Everything's not all right.
Hasn't been all right for quite some time. So maybe not even since the time of Andrew Jackson. Speaking of which, let's play your second song that we've got here. It's Enough Blood to Keep 'Em Coming. We'll just play that now if that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just see if I can get the settings all sorted. Oh, my God. Okay. Right, here we go. Enough Blood to Keep 'Em Coming by Andrew Jackson.
Oh, I need you.
love the zombies there.
Woo!
Sounds like you're playing it off the YouTube there.
The
video for enough blood to keep them coming.
You know, I've never seen so many zombies at a protest, you know. It was a fluke, was it?
It was a fluke. I just, you know, I live in Toronto, Canada, and one day I walked out and there were all these zombies everywhere.
And you were like, dude, let's do a video.
It's like, roll it. I was like, somebody give him my guitar. And then I said, roll it.
Hey, you know, targets of opportunity.
Yeah. Exactly. You gotta make do with that. That's an example of gonzo filmmaking.
Yeah. That's production value right there.
That is a lot of production value. And, you know, there's technicalities that you have to take advantage of, such as, you know, if someone's wearing makeup on their face, they don't, you know, need to sign a waiver. But, you know, it's about recognizability, how many seconds, these types of things. People can go out there and there's a whole world of gonzo possibilities.
Well, it's guerrilla filmmaking, really.
Yeah. I'm very proud of it. And director Chris Lazar and, you know, we had a great time.
How exactly technically did you accomplish that? Because I noticed you had an earpiece in it. Did you just have like a little MP3 player and you're just playing it over and over again while you're singing in the crowd and doing stuff?
Well, I can't give away all our secrets now. I mean, there's a certain, you know, magic to filmmaking, Vinny.
Oh, come on. Throw me a bone here.
But, you know, you're pretty close with your guest there, I would say. but yeah, I think, you know, I didn't even need an earpiece. I could have just played it out loud. But yeah, you have to play along to the track, so you can sync up the footage afterwards. So yeah, when you make videos, you're always listening to your song. Incidentally, there's two videos for Another Day of Misery, the song, that was played earlier. And one is, you know, just the song. And then the other one is an extended sort of art video, short film type of deal. And that actually features two other songs from the album and directed by the lovely Ms. Monday.
Yeah. We've got that, that one right here. I think we might play that one after the break. We don't have enough time to, play it for this one. So yeah, I've got this idea, like, it would be really cool to have like a Truth of Music festival, you know? Everybody together playing all similar genres of music or
whatever. Have talked about it, and you know, it's been talked about for years now, but it's sort of like a network of organization that has to be assembled.
It's usually going to be some kind of a front man just saying, all right, you stand there, you operate the boards, you do the cameras, you do the, you know, that kind of thing. It's usually
It costs a lot of money. If you were to tour around, you know, say 15 bands on a touring festival that went from city to city, you know, the people have to be paid, you know, equipment has to be moved, venues have to be booked, all these things have to happen. And so there's just a lot of organization.
And we have to go to break. We'll be right back.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know. Which way is going to go?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, and we very much appreciate you doing so, as well as those who listen to the archives. And I wanted to encourage people, if you could, please go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and send us a donation. Or even better yet, subscribe for like $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever you can spare. I've been thinking about toying with the idea of reducing it to like $1 a month and see if we can even get more subscriptions because, well, basically, I do really, really hard work every single day trying to make sure that the truth gets out on this program so that people who ordinarily don't have a platform, well, basically, I'm not very picky. Anybody really comes on this show. It's just incidentally we get really, really great guests because there's just that many great people out there that nobody knows about. Like my very special guest today, Andrew Jackson from andrewjacksonrock.com. It must be depressing, man. Like that's actually what I feel when I watch some of your videos. It's like they're so fracking good, and then I have a look at the video views, and they're like a little over 1,000 or something like that. You deserve so much more than you're getting, and that makes me sad.
Well, don't be sad, Vinny. Be positive about it. You know, just encourage others to watch. They can donate to me too.
Yeah.
In fact, I have CDs for sale. I got T-shirts for sale. So go to andrewjacksonrock.com. You can check it out. You can email info@andrewjacksonrock.com. And, you know, let's get talking. Ask me some questions. I'll send you a package. T-shirts, CDs, downloads, you know, whatever you want.
The whole nine yards.
We got it all.
You've got some kind of a live set that you'd like to play for us?
Oh, I was just gonna, you know, just play a little something, not a full set. I mean, you know, this is more about the interview, I think. But I do have a guitar here. Oh, what's that? It's a guitar. I'm not sure how it sounds out there over the Skype, but it's my trusty old Gibson. Just sitting all alone at home by the telephone. I'm trying to call my babe. Need to hear your sweet voice to warm my soul just one time. Tell you, babe, you need to hold on. Hold on. I got a feeling everything's gonna be alright. Hold on to what you got. Prescription to fall asleep tonight if you hold on to me tight, 'cause there's a great big world beyond the Auckland light. There you go. Brilliant. Special for you, Vinny.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. On that note, here's an article title that I think is appropriate for the song. Obama ready to gamble on gun control debate. Obama has signaled that he will ask Congress to ban military-style weapons. So everybody, hold on to your guns when the government tries to take them off you. You know.
That was good. You got that vocal melody down.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I should hear some more singing out of you.
I've done heaps of songs. I don't know. When the hell am I actually going to get a video done? When the hell am I actually going to get these songs properly finished? And like you, no producer, no manager, no nothing like that. It's just me and my mate Mikhail with the guitar, and my voice is just. It's not that good.
When it comes to guns, Vinny, I should mention that on my my shooting test, I was 10 for 10 in the hostage-taking target headbox scenario, which involved casings from other weapons rattling off my body as I underwent the test. And I got 10 out of 10. Didn't hit the hostage, not once. So there you go. I'm a sharpshooter. Sharpshooter. I went down to front sight outside of Vegas there. Nevada. It's hardcore. That's cool. It's hardcore training.
That reminds me, I had a guy on one time who organized shooting competitions, and the targets that they were using were blue helmets from the UN.
Oh, no.
And they totally sold out really, really quickly. Everybody was getting in there, wanted to take a pop at those helmets.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you see an occupying force, invading your country, then what do you do, right?
See, and I was wondering, what's the connection between Americans and Canadians with regards to gun control? I wonder, can you get automatic weapons in Canada if you want to?
Well, first of all, you can't get automatic weapons anywhere. You can get semi-automatic weapons, and a Glock pistol is actually a semi-automatic weapon. So when Obama says he's coming for the semi-automatic weapons, he's talking about, more than just these AR-15s, which an AR-15 is not a fully automatic weapon. It doesn't stand up to an AK-47 in terms of, firepower, as far as I know. I mean, I'm not a big gun expert, but what I can tell you is that the machine guns are already illegal. This is what they're trying to do now is get the pretty much the rest of the guns out of the law abiding citizens' hands, so that what will be left is only criminals with guns, and then everyone's really going to be screaming for their daddy government to bail them out at that point. And so
only the criminals and the police and the government will have guns. Oh, so basically, just define that as just the criminals having guns.
Yes, right? Yes, that would be. Although I wouldn't say all police are criminals, but there certainly are criminal elements within the police forces. But I've heard police call into radio shows and say that when it push comes to shove, they're not going to shoot on American citizens. They're going to turn and be like, no, or maybe even detain whoever's giving the orders. That's a reasonable possibility for many districts, but there's certainly some places are too far gone, and it's you just want to leave those places.
Yeah.
You want to know, there used to be a show on TV, and it was in black and white, and it was called The Andy Griffith Show, or maybe it was Andy of Mayberry, and the policemen were these nice people who walked around, and they'd go, "Hey, Billy, how was school today?" And they knew everyone in the community, and people stayed out of trouble because, everyone knew everybody and all this. And now, they bring cops from one side of the country to police the other side of the country, and they swap everyone out. And, the environment minister is a banker, and the banking finance minister is an environmentalist, and no one knows what they're supposed to be doing. And it allows for this, huge machine to move forward unabated, because all the, there's no questioners in the right places.
Yeah, it makes me really kind of angry because I don't know. I feel that if you get into a position of authority, you have to consider yourself a servant, operating under the principles of servitude. I must serve you, my master.
Yeah, like civil the Jedi. Servants. They're called servants, civil servants.
Yeah, like the Jedi. Servants of peace and justice in the galaxy, that kind of thing. But unfortunately, they don't see themselves as our servants. They see themselves as our rulers because they get given power for their positions of authority, and they're not supposed to be using it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an exercise of power over others. And I think that there are certain types of people who are attracted to exercising power over others, and they would be inclined to gravitate towards those jobs which would allow them to do that for a living, to exercise their power over others. And I think over time, it's just it's sort of been flooded like that. And now there's just, you know, a lot of the good people look around and they say, I can't handle this. This is crazy. And then they leave. And so there's less and less of them, you know, policing or, you know, working, you know, for child protection services.
Of which you're 5 times more likely to be sexually abused than any other place. Well, Andrew, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show here with you today. I'd like to make sure that plug your website again, andrewjacksonrock.com. And, of course, he's looking for a manager. So if you are in the Toronto area and you want to help to manage a young, talented guy, help to get out there and organize gigs for him and stuff like that, you can contact him through the website, just like I did, in order to get him on the show. So, Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Vinny.
All right. I'll see you again sometime, man. Now, after the break, I believe we might be having a guest in from New Zealand talking about lawful rebellion and the energetic universe. That should be fun. All right. We'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen. And gentlemen, to hour number two. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guest today is a Kiwi by the name of Peter Martin. Peter, welcome to the program.
How are you? Thank you very much.
Somewhat fabulous.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. So, I guess... I suppose you want to know a little bit about me?
Sure, sure.
Okay, I'm sort of like the registrar of a movement that's really kind of trying to balance the power systems up a bit. You know, I guess I call myself a sovereign human, and I'm part of a international organisation of the same name as myself, and I'm also the registrar of Te Wakamininga o Te Hapu Nuturini International, which is a group of like-minded individuals who are trying to really just decode the law and see how that fits into the conspiracy and the illusion that we're sort of all living under. It's a huge picture. I mean, we all know how big it is. It's enormous, and it's... very hard to cover every single area of it in a small little segment. But I like to focus on the way that the illusion is put to us. Because, you know, people think you know, illusion. I look around, I see the world, there's no illusion. But it's kind of a trick, you know, that they're... For a long time, a lot of people in the know, I guess, I don't know, we bandy about names, I don't like to use them personally, but a group of people have known how the physiology of a human being works and how we actually construct the world that we think is reality. And so, like, I like to try and focus on that. Although I have, you know, I'm in the process of legal battles, and I'm you know, trying to be on the front of forwarding the rights and certain government departments for individuals, including Work and Income New Zealand. So, like I said, it's a big thing, and it's like the military-industrial complex that we all heard about from the end of the war, the Second World War, is actually growing much larger now, as we probably all know, and it's a military-industrial medical media complex, and it's just growing larger and larger, and I guess it's really good to have people like American Freedom Radio that are just sort of putting out a little bit of information on the other side of things.
Like informants in a battleground or spies or something like that, a propaganda platform.
Yeah, well, it is and it isn't. You know, the media works in a way that creates images that you have in your mind, that you get ideas about, societal holograms, I call them. You know, you watch television and you get some sort of an idea about what you think your life should be like and what your family should be like, you know, that kind of thing. And what they do is, human beings, there's a huge process. I mean, obviously, we're really complex organisms, and without a doubt, the human mind is the most complexly organised form of matter that we know of. So you can't really try and encapsulate it in one little thing. But, you know, really what's happened is since, well, as far as I can trace, it's been all the way back since Babylonian times. So that's, you know, several thousand years. People have known how we build our worlds inside. And what we've done is because we don't realise that in our experience of the world we go around, we are making a copy of that world inside our mind. So, you know, when you see something, like any object, it's hard, you know, anything, right? Light bounces off it and it goes into your eyes where it's focused, you know, through the lens, and it hits the back of your retina and it penetrates it into the rods and cones inside there, and through watery salts and various energy transformations, it's converted into a bioelectrical signal that travels into your brain. But that's the end of the light. You know, it doesn't exist from that point on. It's only existent as a hologram, a representation in your mind that you then cast outside yourself and map onto what your eyes are seeing. Now, the really important thing about that is that all of your emotions and your previous experience and that allow you to see that image the way that it is. And because most of us don't know about this internal world that we have inside us, we don't really try to maintain it at all. And so what's happened is somebody's subverted it, somebody's hijacked it, and now we're little images of someone else, not ourselves.
Can I say something? Does this have anything to do with the relations to the people who are really paranoid, don't trust people, and basically you do something that reminds them of somebody else who screwed them over, and so they screw you over?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You know, we always tar everybody else with our brush, if you know what I mean. A thief always thinks people are stealing off him, and, you know, a cheater always thinks people are cheating. But that's because we build our experience of the world, you know, over time as we go along. And what happens is, I don't know, do you know much about the creation of television, how it came about, and the people that made it?
Not a hell of a lot. I thought that it was Nazi Germany who managed to do the first television broadcast, I think.
They did do that. The guy who actually invented the concept and the design was a guy called John Logie Baird. He was a Scotsman. But he was a member of the Psi Society, okay? And they were actually trying to make a device to communicate with the spirit world. And John Logie Baird accidentally discovered or invented television that way. So it's actually a really kind of a strange device anyway, and it's been a long-known fact that when a human being's watching television, if you took an EEG of their brain pattern at that time, it would be exactly the same wave pattern as if you're in REM sleep, dreaming. So basically when you sit there watching television, it's putting you into a dream world, and that dream world is the basis of your waking world, if you know what I mean. So
it's kind of like hypnotism. The way I've understood it is that there's certain amounts of frames per second that you see, and the refresh rate on the screen, however, is different from the frame rate. And they make sure that the image is refreshed just slightly more than the brain is capable of processing consciously. So instead of having alpha waves, which are your fully conscious, analytical, mathematical mind, that kind of thing, watching television, it instead turns that off and switches it into beta waves, which are more the suggestible, emotional sort of things. Essentially, it mind controls you.
Yeah, well, and so that's what I'm saying. You know, basically, we've sat there watching television since we were small children, and what's happened is it's created what I like to call societal holograms. And we think the world has to work this way because, and it's reinforced in every facet of our lives. You know, you go to school and they teach you the same thing. You know, it's not really education more than indoctrination, if you know what I mean. Why do they call them programs on TV? I mean, you know. Why is it programming? They don't even hide it. They say, oh, it's programming for the masses. Well, it's exactly what it is. So basically, you know, we go around creating our own reality. It's kind of like the best way I can describe it, because it's a really complex thing, is we're in a waking dream, and the dream exactly matches the world that your eyes detect. How about that? So, but that dream world that you've constructed based on your reality is actually really a replica of the things that you believe that you've learned from school and television, you know, which may or may not be true. And there's definitely one thing we can say about the information that we've gained now is that in the future it will be proven to be false. And if you look through history, that's always been the case. It's an emergent society that's not really, you know, fully established. We don't really know everything.
I love people who do think that they know everything, though.
How's that for amazing?
Yeah, and you notice that they're the most highly educated, and in my opinion, the word education is synonymous with indoctrination. So basically, the only people who think that they know everything are the people who are most heavily indoctrinated by the system.
That's right, and they're the ones that are most likely to reject anything that doesn't actually fit into their worldview. It's just a really strange world we live in. You know, like David Icke and all those guys are right, man. It's completely reverse, upside down.
I remember when I was a young man, Peter, and I thought that cops were honest. I thought that politicians try to do the best thing for the country. I thought that local councils and boards were there to listen to the people. I thought that television was there to educate and enlighten people. You know, none of these things are true. None of them.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, really, really isolated incidents are, yes, true, but the vast majority of it is just one big fracking lie.
And it's kind of perspective shaping, isn't it? Like a classic one in New Zealand, we have to laugh at this. The whole Tamaiti Uruwera incident, how, you know, that big incident went down, the media played it up hard. The next day, the Terrorism Suppression Act was passed. Then the day after that, it was found out that they were just, you know, a bunch of guys playing cowboys and Indians, mate, and Tamaiti's flying off to London to do a documentary.
I had Tame, it's pronounced Tame, like, you know, rubbing your tame. on the show twice, and what surprised me is that he knows about the New World Order, and he knows about the false terrorism plots and all of that kind of stuff. He knows about false flag terrorism. Incidentally, well, somebody who knows about these things winds up becoming the victim of such things.
Yeah, well, you know, there'll always be stories about that too, you know. But, you know, there are a few truths, I guess, you know. The world is something that you make it, I guess. And I like to say this, you know, I create reality. It's my will projected that defines what is real. My mind's eye manifests. And it's because what I'm actually seeing is a recreation of the world that I've mapped onto the objects that I see. I kind of like to bring out the hermetic thing of correspondence, the law of correspondence, or whatever you want to call it. And it says, you know, as within, so without. The world outside is a reflection of the world that you have inside, and the world inside is a reflection of the world outside. And it's kind of that relationship. And that's why it's so suggestible with the television and that. You know, when you watch the television, it's putting you into that beta mode and you're all relaxed and the information's going in, it's forming the holograms that you then identify things with. You know, say you see something that you've never seen before, you always relate it back immediately to something that looks similar to it. You know, you see a flying object in the sky and you go, oh, it looked like a ball that was changing from red to white, you know, because you have no hologram inside your mind to be able to actually describe that. And so that's why the television and the schooling systems and that sort of thing are really more about, dare I say it, rewarding complacency and lackluster behaviour and not thinking. You know, it's easier to just go off to work, you know, do your job, come home, flip the TV on, have a couple of beers, whatever, you know, and go to bed, get ready to do it the next day, you know. It's actually kind of mindless, the whole idea. In fact, the Dalai Lama said that busyness, keeping yourself busy, was really the devil, because it stops you thinking about things. Contemplation and, thought and trying to work things out is going to save the world, not, you know, going to work and producing things.
Have you ever heard the phrase "idle hands are the devil's plaything"?
I have heard that, but that sounds like that might have been put out by guys who want us to work.
Yeah, that was what occurred to me as you were saying that.
Yeah. So you know, this illusion is really I guess it's the best way to describe it is we're in a war. A war for the minds of all the inhabitants of Earth, a war of worldviews, if you wish, and, you know, concepts like freedom and equality and that sort of thing doesn't really exist, because we're not actually who we really are. We're actually copies of someone else's idea of what we should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about this, you know. And this is a thought that occurs to me every now and again. Am I thinking with thoughts that are my own?
Where am I?
Did I originate these thoughts that I'm thinking right now in my head, or am I simply copying and interpreting what somebody else has said and just going along with it? You know, I constantly question that.
Well,
because I don't know if you don't. Who knows what kind of other people's concepts you might be flown away with. Unfortunately, Peter, we've come to a break now, so we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Peter Martin from New Zealand. Back in a tick.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Crossed the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week, 2 hours a day on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also, if you happen to be in the island changed nation of New Zealand, that's the local pronunciation. There is a radio station in Whanganui, with or without an H, called Dagsy FM 88.0, in Hamilton, Raglan, and soon to be Tauranga, Rush FM 87.7. And incidentally, and I only just found this out yesterday, a pure coincidence, in Southland, Ifinity FM network is also on 87.7 FM. So, if you're in the South, Ifinity at 87.7. If you're in the mid-north or whatever, you know, and these radio stations and their links are on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you know of a low-power FM or even a powerful FM that wants to, well, basically have the guts, the real guts and gusto to play this show, send them to me. Ask them to contact me. I'm not that difficult to get a hold of, believe me, because this show really does need to be everywhere throughout this country and everywhere throughout the world because, well, basically, the guests are international, you know, from all over the place. And have you noticed, no matter how different the topics are, no matter how different the people are, we're all really in agreement about one thing. We don't want to be fracking slaves anymore.
That's it.
Right, now, there's another thing. I wanted to give a quick plug to Blue Shield as well. Haven't been selling too many of those, and I wanted to encourage people to get them because look at it this way. They're not cheap, okay? Admittedly, they're not cheap. They're about $100 each, depending on what you're purchasing. I've got a little one that hangs around my neck, and I've also got a plug-in one that's next to the computer so I don't get, you know, bathed in EMF radiation the whole time while I'm doing the show every day and working away on the archives and what have you. And I was wondering whether or not they worked. And my mate Dan said to me, you know, Vinny, why don't you just unplug it for a week? And I was like, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do a test, you know, let's see if it works. And my God, the headaches and my rage and just feeling sick and really, really exhausted and stuff like that. I think within 2 hours or something of unplugging it, just kind of came down on me really, really harshly, and getting through that week was just pure difficulty. You know, that was what it was like. It was just difficult to survive, difficult to think, difficult to maintain my cool, and nothing else had changed other than unplugging that Blue Shield. And then I plugged it back in, headaches went away, the exhaustion disappeared, and my rage came under control. It really does work. Unequivocally. And $100 for something that gives you a 15-meter radius that protects your whole home in order to stop that from happening to you? I didn't even notice that I was like that until the Blue Shield gone. And that's how they work, really. You plug them in first off, you don't notice a difference at all until you unplug them. All right? We really are living under this crap of EMF radiation the whole time. The whole time. It is inescapable. And now they've got smart meters on everybody's fracking property and all of that kind of stuff, bathing you in that stuff as well. This stuff works, okay? Even a friend of mine, Gordy, who's a part of the Zeitgeist movement, you know those people, I don't know if anybody's ever had friends like this, but there'll be people who are really technically skilled, and there'll be one room in their house that is an absolute bomb site. Like, it's a mess. They've got computer parts and scientific gear and welding torches and goodness knows what everywhere, because they're just really, really onto it, people who've got all those devices, right? And he had this device that was an electronic reading device, okay? So you point it, it's got a little electrode on it, and you point it at whatever, and it'll give off a sound corresponding to however much electricity is running through that thing. and just in the air, you know, we're just pointing it in the air, just in general, and it was like, pointed it to just a piece of metal, you know, nothing wrong with it or nothing plugged into it. Plugged it onto a computer screen that was on. Plugged it onto a blue shield, even while the light was flashing, and it's like, nothing. Nothing. It really is the ultimate in New Zealand engineering, as far as I have seen. And the guys down there, they're even testing them on cows. And preliminary tests have seen that even the cows produce 10% more milk when they're wearing blue shields around their neck as a collar. All right? Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free, I say? All right. Enough with the plugging. Although it's... we're going to go back to my very special guest now, Peter Martin. Welcome back, my friend.
How are you? Right. So anyway, I think we were talking about the education system. You know, I was just saying that was what school was, a method of, you know, programming you to be like a worker and not really think for yourself or anything. So anyway, what I did was I looked around on the internet and various other law libraries and things, and I was looking for how do they take this illusion thing and apply it. So how does it fit on us? And it's basically, you know, the law does it. And so I looked at what the law was, and I found that it was actually just as much of an illusion as anything else. And if you actually have a look at it, there is nothing in it that indicates that a human being has to comply with it in any way. Now, what I did is I found, we've probably heard of these people, Robert Arthur Menard and...
I've had him on the show, yeah.
Yeah, Russell Perisky. And like, I ran my own business for... maybe 10 or 15 years. I'm a computer programmer, IT sort of a guy. And so I created this IT business, and I found out that, well, the first thing I discovered was that the whole income tax thing was like a shell game. It actually really is just not really, I mean, it's just a load of crap, I'm sorry to say. But what I discovered when you run a business, if you do everything properly and you look at how things work and you tailor your business to the right kind of thing, you end up not ever having to pay tax and you always get maximum benefits. And so I wondered in myself, you know, how is this possible when I'm running my own business and, you know, sure, I can't go and get a bank loan because I haven't made any profit, but, you know, like all of my house and all everything that I think is taken care of, everything's all taken care of and I can do everything that I want. And I see the guy across the road from me who struggles doing like 16 or 18 hours a day, and, you know, he's struggling to pay his power bill and struggling to pay his, you know, internet and stuff. And I wondered, you know, what the difference was. And it really is just an illusion. And so what I did was I found from those guys like Robert Menard and that, a system of declarations and law documents that you could do based upon old law. But because old law, the old Roman style of doing things, is actually the basis of all of the westernized law, everything that was fit into the commercial code fitted straight into our law. And so what I found out is that you could take the documents which were produced in America for the Uniform Commercial Code, and then you could go and find enactments that were constructed in exactly the same way that belonged to your own country. And so what I did is I created the system of declarations and sent them off to the government and got an acknowledgement back from them. And basically what's happening is now I'm in the courts proving that the system of law that they created is in fact true, and that I have created for myself using their own laws, a kind of a diplomatic immunity, if you wish, the true meaning of sovereignty. And so I've been helping people out in the court and stuff for quite a while, but in New Zealand we have, a high level of apathy and ignorance in the general frame of things, and so it wasn't very long before they trespassed me from the court. Think about how ridiculous that is. I've never done anything aggressive, never done anything violent. All I do is speak, and they're trespassing me from the court, telling me that I'm not allowed to go down there and, help people out. You're not allowed
You're literally not allowed to have access to justice. I love that.
Yeah. I thought that was part of your citizenship, one of the fundamental things. So I don't have access to justice. They can call me there, but I can't go there and process. I've been precluded from my fundamental right as a citizen.
Have you tried committing a minor crime to see whether or not they'll actually try and get you in there?
Yeah, they did. I went down to the court to go as a witness for someone else, and they arrested me for willful trespass and resisting police. So there you go. And so now I'm in the process of battling that out with them in regards to the diplomatic immunity thing.
Whereabouts are you battling it out? Because if you trespass from court, how exactly are they going to prosecute you? I mean, did they hold like an open air, like a Christmas in the Park type court system for you?
What they do is when they know I'm coming, I get, the full escort treatment. I get the security guards and all that, and they all come down and they usher me into the court, and then
I was thinking some other kind of escort, form of escort, but
well, I wish, but no, it wasn't like that at all. It was actually
the cops weren't wearing lipstick.
No lipstick. All serious, mate. Handcuffs and batons. So that's where we're at. Basically, there's a whole group of us in the Waka Meninga and various other people around me that now getting behind me, and we're really hard out trying to push this concept of diplomatic immunity. I don't know how much you've probably heard a lot of this sort of thing before about how the conspiracy itself is constructed in law with the birth certificate. Do you know about that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah. Maritime law and shipping manifest and that kind of thing. I
mean, yeah, right. So
the way I define it as we're property from birth, and essentially we're livestock.
Exactly. When you look in the law, the word deliver means to relinquish control or ownership of something. Why is it called a delivery room then?
And why is it called birthing as well? What do you do with ships when they come onto the land?
They birth. Okay. There's a certificate of manifest, which is your birth certificate, isn't it? Which is what they do down at the dock. And it's the dock tour. Why is it a dock tour? Why is it a birth canal? All these things are indicative of the kind of deception and thing that they're doing behind it. So after they create that birth certificate and then create the bond, and then after 8 years, if you haven't written in to tell that you're still alive, they collect it under maritime salvage law. They then float it on the international market, and countries that want to invest in New Zealand or whatever buy those sovereign bonds, and then when you turn 18, the tax money that you pay goes to pay back the loan that the government took in your name. So what I've done is I've found all this stuff out, and I've discovered that the birth certification actually is a kind of an incorporation. And so I've used that and made the Uniform Commercial Code filing and registered my name as a corporation there in America, which gives it what I'd say is international status. So, even if you have a look at it, the way that they create the trust, which they put the money from the bond into, it's called a foreign situs trust, and it means that it's created under foreign law. So really, it's a foreign entity anyway, and that's why you have to pay tax, incidentally, is because you're a foreign entity on New Zealand's sovereign soil, so you have to pay tax. But the international status then means that you fall into the diplomatic immunities and privileges. If you have an international, if you're an international or you're part of an international organization, then you have international organization status, which is defined in the Diplomatic and Diplomatic Privileges and Immunities Act 1968.
Which basically means if you don't commit crimes like murder or theft or something like that, right. You can't be touched. You can't be given speeding tickets, parking tickets, nothing.
That's right. But, you know, like I'm still getting them. You know, like I drive around in a car that's... look, the Waka Meninga have, you know, in their own...
We're coming to break now, Peter.
Yep.
Hold that thought.
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with... Peter Martin. And I also wanted to kind of think about this. It's like so many of the people that are going through this process of becoming free and not having to pay the taxes, ironically, get harassed all the time by the authorities, and it broke. We'll be right back.
Bonkers.
Into my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know I care about sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Near me. Hello. Looks like everybody's dropped off. Anyway, the Waka Meninga people have discovered through their law systems that they have the right to issue registrations and road certificates and stuff for people to be able to. Traverse the Queen's highways as such on New Zealand roads, whatever you want to call them. So,
all right, I'm back. Sorry.
No worries, mate.
Okay. Hate it when that happens. All right. Well, anyway, what were we talking about over the break there? It was about how so many people in your position, right, who I have elected to basically want to now be free, what happens is, you get bankrupted more or less by these people. You get harassed constantly by these people, and you don't feel free.
No, you don't feel free. But you know, the truth of it is that, you know, it's always hard when the first few people start to do something, and it's easy when everyone's doing it. You know what I mean? And I guess some of us have decided that we just can't tolerate the kind of mindless behaviour that goes on. I mean, you just sit down and take stock for it for a second. You know, if you actually honestly look at things, you know, do you think that our way of life, the way that we live, is actually beneficial to humanity or the planet or anything? I mean, seriously, you know, all we seem to do is just rape and destroy and, you know, what's going on? You know, why is it like that? You know, so some of us just can't put up with that kind of thing anymore. You know, we know that if we don't do something, nothing will ever change. And like I always quote Buddha and stuff, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. You know, that's what we have to do. And so I'm walking the hard road at the moment, and I'm getting, you know, harassed every day, and, you know, like, I can't really find it easy to get it. I can only do contract work. I can't actually go and get a job because, you know, when you're fighting with the tax department and that, you know, you don't want to go and just automatically conform and have your employer, because he thinks he's obligated to, take your tax out and give it to the government, you know. I'm tired of the government that we live under spending money, sending the police over to Afghanistan and, you know, grabbing people and selling them to America. Or what about the GCSB and their, you know, the whole GCSB thing? They're only created there to fulfil our international security or informational requirements with other countries like America. You know, and it's just craziness. And so, like, I just can't put up with it anymore, so I have to stand up and say, no more. And I'm engaging all of the people that I encounter in government departments and the enforcement officers and stuff on the street. I'm engaging them on this level, and I'm just asking them, just saying to them, hey, you know, do you actually think that you're doing something good? I mean, you know, sure, I'm sure some of the things that you are doing are good things, but, you know, when you're running me in, because I'm talking to people, or I'm disagreeing with someone, or I'm trying to speak my mind in a public forum, you know, is that a good thing? Yeah. Like, even the guy who saw me the other day, you know, and he pulled me up in my car and he tried to give me, you know, a big lecture about how he was doing me a favour by giving me opportunity to go in and get a licence. And I was telling him, you know, I'm not interested in doing that. You know, I'd rather go and battle it out in court. He already knew who I was. He goes, oh, you can't go to court, Peter. You know, what a joke. And have
don't
a good
you just love these people? They're just basically sick, sociopathic scum. And I don't know about you, but I have a really, really short fuse. I can get really, really angry very super quickly, and police corruption and being shoved around by these cops and stuff like that for absolutely no reason is the thing that makes me most angry most fast, you know? But the fact is, you can't do anything to these people, okay? If they assault you and you defend yourself, they'll throw you in jail, right? It's completely unfair. The day that I feel free is the day that a cop physically assaults me and I haymaker him and knock him out and have absolutely zero repercussions from the law. That will be the day that I believe that I'm free. If they break the law by assaulting me, I can then defend myself and get away with it. That, I think, is proper justice for all.
Well, the thing is that, you know, they're under an illusion too, eh? You know, there used to be what was called a policeman, and he was like, you know, an envoy of the Queen or the Crown, if you want, and it was his job to keep the Queen's peace and make sure that everyone else did. And then along came the police officer, who was like an enforcement-related person who was there to enforce the policies of the Reserve Bank. So, yeah, you know, that's the problem, is that they actually fully think that they have every right to treat us that way, that they can, they're allowed to, because their policies say that they are. And the truth
some
is
of them
that,
do anyway. I mean, I've met so many really nice, really cool, friendly cops who have actually had extended conversations with, and I would never, ever, ever attack one of them, okay? But the fact is, some of them are so corrupt that they feel that they can attack me.
Oh, that's what happens to me. You know, like, I'm a person, I bring the love, mate. This is what it's all about. It's, you can't fight the world, okay? You have to change it. So it's all about love. If I get really angry with a police officer, I start calling him sir. You know, that's what I do. But, you know, more often than not...
Is that short for servile?
Nah, sir's the lowest rank, isn't it, in the Navy, mister... I just call them that because I'm trying to show them whatever respect I can, but it almost invariably ends up with, you know, me on the ground face down with them with a knee in the back of the head, you know, and it's just because I cannot just lie down. I won't fight them, but I won't just lie down and let them do it anymore. Yeah. Anyway, we need a lot of support, Wakamininga and my free man group, you know, and like if anybody would like to, you know, help us out in any way whatsoever, they can contact me on hamilton.wireless@gmail.com, and otherwise I'll give you my phone number, which is probably not a common thing, but anyway, +64 22 623-2034. But we'd really love to hear from.
Can you repeat that a lot slower as well? Because everybody out there with a pen and paper or a text file or something like that, just write down this number.
Okay, +64 22 623 2034 and hamilton.wireless@gmail.com. And like, we're just interested in, you know, hooies and, you know, educational things about this sort of thing and meeting like minded people and really, you know, trying to bring back some, I don't know, goodwill and love in the world. I mean, you know, the thing is that money, which is the tool that people use to create the illusion, gives us a false sense of security that we can survive on our own. You know, as soon as money's gone, we all have to rely on each other again, and that's actually the truth of it. You know, what binds humanity together is not actually societal holograms or financial systems. It's actually the fact that we're all human beings, and, you know, we are all one type of creature, and we should really be helping out each other. You know, competition will destroy the world. Cooperation is what will build it, you know?
Well, and indeed, cooperation is actually a more efficient business model. There was a test done with it where a bunch of people were driving trucks down these particular roads. Like, there's a long route and a short route, but the short route's got a gate at the front and the back. And they had this thing, like two companies, you've got to try and make the most money, but one would control one gate, one would control the other, and they weren't really making a terribly large amount of money unless they worked together. And it just goes to show you, man, that if you're trying to compete with another person, your propensity is to actually try and sabotage the business interests of that other person. If you're collaborating with other people, both of your shared objectives becomes to help each other be better in business.
That's right. And there's no reason why you can't have a win-win situation instead of a win-lose one, right? You know, that's the thing about it, is that we always think that, you know, everybody thinks that competition is healthy, and it's because what's happened is the people that seek to, you know, keep us under an illusion, what they've done is they've supplanted incorrectly a natural system, you know, the fittest survival system that applies in nature. No way does that apply to human systems in any way, shape or form. So, you know, when you try and apply it to, you know, business or anything else and create this competition, like, you know, clawing and struggling to get to the top and the fittest will survive, what you do is you just end up eliminating all the really good ideas and anything that doesn't just effectively work commercially.
Yeah. Stop fighting against each other. Start fighting alongside one another. I think that's the best thing we can do. And I may not be trying to, you know, do the free man thing and get out of the system or whatever. I've chosen to make sure that people find out that it is going on instead.
That's right.
And so, you know, that's my role as an individual. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, Peter. Thank you very much for yours.
Yeah, no problem, man. Anytime.
Keep up the good fight, my friend. All right, we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.